Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. No way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harmontown is now in session. Welcome to the Nerd Melt Theater. How are you all tonight? Thank you, loyal Harmonians, for coming. Thank you for listening out there in the podcast ether. Please put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. I got nothing tonight. I got nothing. Nothing to talk about. See me after the show. You may have your $10 back. I'm looking at my phone because I said to people, what do you want me to talk about? Got any questions? Hashtag Harmontown. Some people are... you guys did good. Thank you. But good audience. I don't want you to mistake my low energy tonight for a lack of love, because I edit the Harmontown podcast. We took a little break, and so I edited two in a row over at Puny Studios with Dustin Marshall, and I missed you guys, and you're a good audience. You're good people. Shut up. I got nothing tonight. I have no passion. I have no topics. I'm not sad. I don't have anything to be sad about. I have a lot of money, and I have so much food that I have extra food stored in my body. I have extra beds in my house, so I'm like the opposite of homeless. I got nothing to complain about, really.
Why are you so sedate?
It's just biorhythms. Yeah, you know?
I've been really negative the last few days. I've been really cranky, and I've been like in a bad mood all the time. For no reason. Everything's great.
You kind of gave my girlfriend a dressing down at the drawing room.
I was pleasant about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed from her reaction that you were pretty mean. She has a high value on your opinion.
I told her how I felt, and I was yeah. I was pleasant. I didn't beat her up about it.
You said how you felt was her behavior in the last show where she called on her cell phone. You said that was the last straw.
I said,
you have a last straw.
No, the words was that was the limit of my endurance. I'm not cliche.
Well, she's not here tonight because she killed herself. You'll be happy to know.
It never occurred to me.
She's doing a show or something. She could have killed herself. And then maybe you would have apologized. Maybe.
She called you in the middle of the show.
So what? So Adam Goldberg wanders up here like a nincompoop. This show has no format. There's nothing to protect.
I know.
It's not a diamond mine. It's a treehouse. It's full of empty popcorn bags.
Well, I'm
Tori Amos all of a sudden. It's a turtle racing a grapefruit. I thought I favorited some of the questions. I'm sorry for the live people. They're looking at a guy looking at his phone, which is now a new. It's like sending a signal to you that I'm not interested in what you're saying. I am. I'm looking at my phone because
this is a new jacket you're wearing tonight, Dan. You kind of have like an Alan Alda MASH field jacket kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we got a break in the weather. Oh, I know what I did wrong. I pressed the at Dan Harmon button, which is my favorite button. I have to search for Harmontown. Okay, and then I should see some of these doodads. I think I don't know. Did I fuck it up somehow? I thought I
welcome to Hollywood, California, everybody. The entertainment capital of the world.
Okay, so here's an example. Dopamini, at Dopamini, says, if you were born 200 years ago, what would you do for a living? That's a really good question.
Right.
That's just an example of a great question.
So...
like if I had some passion tonight, I would have like an amazing answer for that. I think that would be very intriguing.
So you were born in the year 1873?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, so 1873. Yeah, let's make it 1820. No, 1830. You're 17 years old. What are you doing in 1830?
I would be a writer. I'm a timeless genius. I'd love to be able to say, I'd be an elephant trainer because the World's Fair would be coming up and Mr. Edison would need a new elephant. It's like I transcend. I'm like a Time Lord. My talent is, if I was born in the year 3000 BC, I'd invent writing. I'm a god.
What do you think you would write about if you were in the year 3000 BC?
Whatever got me a nice piece of cave. Remember in ABC's Cavemen? Yes. They used to say, in ABC's Cavemen, they used to say stuff like that.
Yeah, they used cave like the Smurfs you'd Smurfy.
Yeah, they were looking at a female cave woman that was working at like a Pinkberry, and Nick Kroll's character was looking at her butt and said, man, I'd like to carve me off a nice piece of that cave. What? First of all, that doesn't make any sense. Second of all, to the extent that I force my brain to make it make sense, gross, because caves are holes, and then I start to think of vaginas, and now I'm thinking of carving off vaginas, and that's, and you made me do that, Geico. Anyways, here's another great one. Is there a plan to take Harmontown on tour anytime soon? I'm gonna have to say yes. Yes.
We're gonna... Yeah.
I thought that would get a bigger response, but then I realized you guys are... Why would you... You don't care. Yay, you're leaving.
Get the hell out of here.
It's the applause from the little iPhone that I'm hearing from the people in New York and Chicago and things. Yeah, I think in January, that's where we're having preliminary conversations about this. I think what I'm going to do, because I'm turning 40... So like maybe get 50 people or so to show up in little cities across the country. So I think in January we'll take a little bus and we'll go around and we'll do this to people in different cities, and I want to record it. We'll take some Channel 101 kids with us. They're not kids anymore. They're 48 years old. But take them with us. Do some nice recordings in the little black boxes and cabarets throughout the country, and then come home with hundreds of hours of footage, and then just throw it on some other Channel 101 kid and go edit this. And I'll just sit at home snorting coke off of a piranha.
That's the only way I get high anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of addictions, I think this might be part of why I'm all like I got nothing tonight. I'm addicted to 5-hour energies. I call them 5-HEs now. It barely takes less time to say. Like it's basically the same amount of energy, but I'm obsessed with energy. I guess it's fucking up my throat. I got bad acid reflux. I'm taking like Zantac on top of Prilosec to counteract the effects of these 5-hour energies. And I'm taking one or two a day. I mean, if you need 10 hours of energy, well, that's another way of saying just take a nap. Like 10 hours of energy is your deficit. Then just take the day off and go to sleep. What do you? 10 hours of energy? That's not good, Jeff. I've been addicted to worse things, but this is making barf in my throat.
Yeah, those things taste like poop too.
It doesn't taste good. It tastes like energy. You know, it doesn't. I don't think they want it to taste like too good, because then you wouldn't believe that it was giving you energy, which I don't think it is.
To be quite honest, I've never felt energized by those things. I think it's a bunch of...
I accidentally took two on top of each other once, like took one, forgot I had, took one, like I think an hour into one, I took another. And I there is something in them, like, because there is such a thing as too much. And I remember like right before I took the second one, I picked a fight with Aaron, and And then she heard totally justified response of what about what a piece of shit I was that night was like coming back on me socially as I was starting to freak out. I was just like laying in the bed that I made with my girlfriend, but and also going like, baby, please, please, come on, take it easy. I took 2 5-hour energy. I can't handle this. Yeah, but why? What did you mean before? I'm sorry. It was pretty weird. It was like the scene in The Fifth Element when the guy's choking on the. Strawberry, whatever the fuck.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy Priceline.
Yes. Is Rob Schraub clapping?
Rob Schraub is in the house, is that right? Hello, Rob.
Let's see. Man, I really fucked up. I sat in the green room and I favorited things that I wanted to respond to, but I guess you guys did such a good job of tweeting stuff at me that I...
Are you playing Sparkle right now?
Eric Mescavel says, I know you're a Joe Campbell guy. Who else influences your writing? Are you a McKee fan? Goldman? No, I don't know. I don't know why I favorited that, if that's all I was going to say. I don't know what I was thinking. Not really a question, but if you ever find your way to Colorado, let me buy you a drink. Okay. It's no problem. Maybe this is hurting things, me holding this phone and scrolling through the things. Maybe I need to cut myself loose.
It's not Cirque du Soleil, I'll tell you that much.
Right. I mean, and I don't know if it's going to be a bit because I put the phone down, but I don't think that... I don't know if the phone's helping.
Are you preoccupied, or are you just in one of those weird, like, kind of...
Well, I'm mad at you for being mean to my girlfriend.
I wasn't mean to her. You were there when it happened. It was very brief. I said it very, very succinctly.
I didn't hear what you said.
Exactly.
But
it took a couple seconds, and I told her she was bumming me the fuck out.
Well, you told her that she.
I'm curious to know
did a bad thing to the show, and that the audience didn't like what she was doing.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I really wanted to know what the. I would love to have heard the journalism that she reported to you. I didn't know that you guys were going. I didn't know. We were at the drawing room, and I told Aaron. I was like, ugh. I gave her like a little couple of minute get some shit off my chest, and then I didn't know that right after that you guys were going to go have a romantic dinner together, which I apparently must have poisoned by having that conversation. So I'm sorry for that.
Well, no, it was fascinating. so there's that putting a ding in my energy. I'm not going to blame you for anything though.
Let's blame Eric.
Not going to blame anybody for anything. Let's blame everything on NT.
How are you, NT?
NT, what's it like? Come on. You know we all want to know. To be a student. Oh, you're not a student? Okay. Is NT literally the only black? No, no, okay. All right. So my search lines went bang. I was scared about it. Sometimes NT is literally the only African American Armenian here. And what's that like? That's what I'm really curious about. Although I know words that the words don't matter. It's not like anything. It's like I think I have 5 black friends maybe, and I think if you got them all in a room together, I think the one thing they would all agree on is that they're pretty sick and tired of being reminded by me that they're black. and probably that would I probably a microcosm for white America. They probably wish that they could get through a day for like and just forget about it. That's a luxury that white people have. When's the last time you stopped in the middle of the sidewalk and went, "Oh shit, I'm white"? Like so it probably had something to do with a black person being involved. Like you didn't just do it in a vacuum. It's not a homogenous society yet. It's not happening. It's black people out there. They're in pain. Next time you see one, don't give them money. That's not what they want. That's racist. Don't give them five. It's even more racist.
What if the fight?
Give them a hug.
What if the fight was really high?
I don't know, because if it's high enough, then the next one's got to be way down low.
Yeah, and then you run the risk
of being too slow. Yeah, and that, by the time you finish with that whole thing, you're the most racist person in the world. Let's talk about race.
Finally. What's your favorite race?
That's a good question.
And by that I mean, which is more fascinating to you, black people or Asian people? Who's more fascinating?
Oh, easily
you?
Black people. No, black people, hands down. Favorite race to think about. What race would I want to be? No offense to our Asian friends. It's you know, you're doing fine. There's billions of you. But I just America was literally built on this practice that we then were the first country to say, okay, now this is illegal. It's just a fascinating, the national psyche, the social implications, the swirling meta like racism within non-racism within racism within non-racism, what the definition of it is. Like there's no better way to examine it than with white people and black people. And no offense to our beautiful beige friends, but fuck you. I mean, it's Bush League stuff. Like, who cares? White and black, it's where it's at. When it comes to race obsession.
How racist would 1830s writer Dan Harmon have been?
I mean, you gotta be kidding me, right?
That was kind of the sweet spot for American racism.
Well, really think about it. It's an uncomfortable thing to think about. Like really think about the world. I was thinking about this just recently, and I can't remember why. But it was like, because somebody was getting kind of high-handed in some conversation, and I didn't want to be like a David Cross character and like kind of like call him out on it and have a big argument. But I was talking to somebody, and they were kind of like, they said something that made me realize that they very much take it for granted the fact that as a nation, we were very, very wrong for a very long time, and that we haven't changed that much. It's only been a certain amount of time, and that we all kind of inherit this world. We act like, oh, those aren't my sins. Those aren't. Some of us are kind of nasty about it. Go like, well, I didn't have slaves, so excuse me. You're making quite a bit of noise in the popcorn line. And it's not my fault. And you know what? I saw that movie that you guys made, and if a white person made that movie, it would not be fair. You'd get all mad about it. I think that there's a naivete there, because like really like as recently as the 1930s, there was this whole thing in Europe that got really out of hand. I know none of us were there, but I also know that it wasn't an entire generation of monsters. Like, they weren't like vampires from a cereal box that all decided. It's like humanity has it in it to be, you know, very cruel, very evil, and if the person to the left of you and the person to the right of you is doing something wrong, we have the capacity in us to not look at it as wrong. And it's the reason that's important isn't to make ourselves feel guilty or to pat ourselves on the back for knowing it. The reason why it's important to know that is relativity, so that you can actually extrapolate from that and go, okay, so what's going on right now that everyone accepts is completely right, that 100 years from now might be absolutely fucking ridiculously wrong? There could be a million things, like that ghost hanging there. What's that? Maybe that's offensive. I don't know. I think that's distracting.
I think we'll certainly look back on like not letting gay people get married. We'll look at that and go, oh, come on.
Yeah, well, we're definitely, we're doing that with the gay people now. We're finally giving them some props, saying like, sorry about that. Sorry. By the way, sorry. Last show I talked about that gay and lesbian thing. You know why I know about that gay and lesbian shelter in Los Angeles? A guy tweeted me. Because in the wake of this big brouhaha, it was a small brouhaha. It was like 3 a.m. It was between me and like 3 gay guys, because my brother tweeted, "God, I love my daughter," and I tweeted at my brother, "Fag," because it's funny. I thought it was funny. I'm not defending it as funny. It was a spur of the moment thing. Like my brother tweeted, "I love my daughter," and I was raised in the 70s. My big brother, I'm from Wisconsin. Like I just without thinking, without remembering that I'm like the Colonel Sanders of a NBC sitcom, and all, you know, like I just kind of lost myself. I kind of like, we're on Twitter. Like I'm not representing anybody. I was just like, "Fag," and then like 3 guys who happen to be awake, you know. We're like, you just call one guy said, "You call your brother a fag for loving his daughter? What kind of monster are you?" I was like, "Well, that guy's just explaining the joke." Like that's like I'm not apologizing to that guy. That's the, you just don't. I mean, that's funny. That's ironic. It's funny. But then other people were like, "You know, that word is really hurtful," and you know, kind of like bringing me back down to earth. And it's really true. Like do you know when I was. When I was 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, NT, I'm so glad you're here so you can forgive me for this. we're going to give NT a black people wand, and he's gonna touch me with it after this.
Maybe he won't.
I don't know. Well, let's just be clear on one point. He represents all black people.
That seems fair.
When I was a kid, NT, when we would play like tag, flashlight tag, kick the can, whatever, when somebody had to be it, and the kids would gather in a circle and we would go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and it wasn't catch a tiger by the toe. It wasn't tiger. It was the
catch a Chevy by the toe.
It was about half the time it was catch a tiger, and about the other half of the time, this is the late 70s, early 80s, in the middle of the Midwest in someone's backyard. Maybe the half the time was when Billy Peavy from down the block, who was black, like was playing or not. I can't remember if it was related to that, but it's like I didn't even know. I never pictured like anything. It was just like a word, but I'm bringing that up because also as late as my like late 20s, early 30s. No, fuck that. I was editing Community with Steven Sprung, my very gay editor for Community, and I didn't know he was gay. I didn't bother. I wasn't processing that, and I kept going. Like I had this habit. I would see an edit I didn't like, and I'd go, that's fucking gay. Fix that. Like gay, like I just meaning dumb, retarded, stupid, bad, like, and then it was weeks before, and I
your sister's
like,
gay, right?
I wonder if I wish she's just retarded. I wish she was gay. If she wasn't so retarded, maybe there's a way we could put her on some dates and like make her gay so that I could also use her as an out for everything. She'd be like my sister could be a Swiss Army knife of but I was like out of line, you know? Like I'm a writer, so it's like the idea of people telling you that something's not funny or something's off limits or you have to censor yourself. It's like that's the more important enemy all the time. You know, like cuz then you're in the den of what evil, you know? You have to guard against those people. And those are the real people I'm still convinced of that, but at the same time I'm like maybe this is just getting older. Like maybe you just get old and then you get bored and then you start getting sensitive or something. And I don't know what my point is. I don't say fag or gay anymore. And I was like, just saying, like, maybe there's a new thing. Maybe what do we say now? Awesome? Are there any awesome people in the audience? I don't know. I don't know what the maybe is. Gay people the last frontier? Is there anything left? Are we gonna be like homogenized after this? Are we gonna be like Star Trek?
I think it's a human impulse to marginalize certain people, to point out differences. I think we're fascinated by. We're all insecure. We all have our own kind of needy hang-ups, and we have a desire to point out anybody that's different. Even the best among us, I think it's a weird.
People worry the slippery slope argument is okay. Well, so we're all going to get along, and then the next thing will be tall people, redheads, people with freckles.
Well, I think the big one. I think that humanity has a better chance of overcoming racism before sexism. I think that men are going to hate women longer than they'll hate other races. I think sexism is maybe the most pervasive and the most ingrained.
What was the order again? Black
right, ladies, come on there. Huh?
Couldn't black men, I can't remember my history now from eighth grade. Black men could vote in America before women, right? It was like okay, these people are human beings for God's sakes. Like let's give them a say in who's president. I agree. Shut up, Tracy. Get back in the kitchen. I love you. That is kind of amazing. It's noteworthy.
Yeah, men's hatred of women is just like just
it's
outrageous.
Palpable, yeah. and so justifiable. No, see, it's not funny. It's not even funny to say it. It sounds so real. Women walk down the street. They have to deal with that all the time. They feel like that's something that like nobody. The shit that I hear from women, like, you want to reject it. Like, you go, like, come on, you don't, like, it's not that bad, is it? Like when you ever hear, like, women talk about when they walk down the sidewalk and by themselves, and then they just, like somebody drives the car by and they say something out the window, or they make a noise or a face or something. Like, you want it to not be true. Like, come on, life isn't a cartoon. But I've heard it enough from enough different sources. First three women that told me that, I was like, fuck you, you're lying. But now I realize they were heroes. I should write them a letter. No, it sounds like men are pretty frightening.
They are frightening.
Sorry. If only there was an entity of women here that could somehow. But no, it's not.
You mean a black woman?
No.
What's an NT of woman?
Well, I was making the joke. Who's here to represent the women in the audience? Because it's a bunch of women is the answer.
Adam Goldberg, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Goldberg storms the stage.
All right.
How's it going?
Hi, Adam Goldberg.
You know, those ladies, can't live with them. Gotta live with the fear of never living with them. Am I right?
Yeah.
Let's hear it for him. Adam Goldberg, everybody. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
No, he's still here.
That doesn't.
That was called an outro.
Man, you're treating me like Aaron up here. I think it's amazing for Jeff to come out and say, you know, women are just unfairly hated. Your girlfriend's bad at D&D. I know I've only played it three times, but she's played it twice, and she's not good.
I'm not making Aaron the NT of women. I just don't like the thing that she did that last night.
The irony is that the thing that she does that upsets you is calling you gay. So we've got into the spiraling cat's asshole of prejudice about prejudice leading to prejudice about fantasy prejudice.
This is interesting.
It's literally fantastic racism.
Uh-oh. Fine.
All right, Adam, that's it. You got Jeff Tubman.
Okay, fair enough. I just want to absolve the show of this aura of, you know, it's hard to be me and to feel for other people who have different circumstances because, you know, it's hard to, because I don't want to believe it, but I guess they do. I'm Herodes' savior. This is my fucking face, Dan Harmon.
What else?
That's too mean of me. That clearly worked in this side of the room, but it's too mean of me.
What else is going on?
I don't know, made a YouTube video that might be big, might not. You know. That's not what I'm not going to mention it because it's not about promotion, but. No, I had a job in today.
Promotion would be tacky and crass. Like, we want to maintain a baseline of integrity here.
I'm the product, and I'm unsellable.
God, I miss Aaron so much right now. Yeah.
What about race, Adam? What do you think about race?
I think there are plenty of them, and there's just going to be more.
Wait.
He's like,
what do you know that I don't know? They're making new races?
Have you been to Pinkberry lately?
So I haven't, no.
They'll swirl the flavors for you. What?
Pinkberry's making new races?
Pinkberry's making, it's just...
They got a green tea, chocolate chip...
Green tea, chocolate chip, Filipino, yeah.
But wait, Adam, not just to be the devil's advocate, because I got nothing
of course
else
not,
to talk about.
That don't work for the devil, but right. Go on.
But isn't there going to be less races as we go on?
That's true. That's another take on it. But it's been highly theorized that humanity will eventually get to the point where once you can get all your brain data backed up, you can have whatever body you like. You can have
well, that's
octopus
for sure.
Slippers.
Yeah, 10 years from now,
transhumanism.
You're gonna,
yeah. That's the end of racism won't end until we're not, you know, related to the body we're born in.
That's going
to
be the end of everything. That's going to be like 15 years from now. You're going to be able to buy the equivalent of a video game, and you're going to get to just go into your office and close the door and type in some variables, and you could be a female dog getting fucked by an octopus. Like, and then just
day
experience what that's like, and then end the program and never tell anybody about it. So how is that gonna like what then what's marriage? what's the priest supposed to say then?
I now pronounce
you two people who are kind of points of departure.
Yeah.
You may kiss whatever and whoever.
I now pronounce you innie and outie. Society will collapse when we can fuck whoever we want whenever we want. Jeff, you know that the future of our society is being the octopus or being the dog. That's going to be the Democrats and the Republican.
You're preaching to the choir, baby.
I think we need to answer a few more questions. We being you, this is Harmontown and
Adam.
Not Goldberg.
Adam, we got an election coming up. Adam, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh boy,
we got a big election coming up. It's right around the corner. Who do you like?
This is a good one because. I campaigned for John Edwards in 2007.
Yeah,
he's
not going to get it.
Oh, he's not going to get it.
When you say you campaigned for him,
that's a long shot.
He cheated on a woman with cancer, which is one of the life's sublime glories. It's the VR experience of the future, is you get to be the kind of person who's down with... So I was up in New Hampshire. The thought ends itself. You're a participant in that. And God, the fact that I had to pay my own train ticket up to New Hampshire, rang on some doors. And the thing about New Hampshire, everyone seems to own a dog there. I don't know. That's my experience. That person agrees. But and as a person of the Jewish persuasion. Thank you.
I'm sorry. We don't mean to interrupt.
Jewish people are horrified.
We're listening. We're listening.
Okay, that's fine. I know. You have to drink to get through this. I've been so Jewish people terrified of dogs. Everyone in New Hampshire owns a dog. You can see what this is. I was like, oh, knock, knock. Oh God, knock, 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 knock. Steal yourself, Adam. Political activism is its own reward. Every single house.
This has become like a Star Search audition video. That might as well be a hairbrush in your hands.
Oh, God. The point of my story is...
So Romney, you're saying.
Oh, of course. Whichever one is against dog ownership. Freedom for draw. If you love your dog, you will let it free. There's nothing... You're not helping it. You're not... That's digging a hole, but I'll gladly dig it.
All right.
Dig it. Okay, just bring up Steve if he's here.
Not yet. Adam Goldberg, everybody. Let's say goodnight to him and let's keep going with this momentum. Hey BJ, you want to come up here? It was BJ. BJ's the guy that I arm wrestled that one night. You're not as eager as Adam, but I thought I'd pull you up. I like this idea that we have a family starting to grow.
Dan, do we owe it to our podcast listeners to describe in penetrating detail exactly. BJ, stand up. Would you please, so I can get a good look at you? BJ, for those of you who don't know him, he won the great race, the amazing race. What was it called? Amazing race? Yeah. He won a million clams for a race. He won, and he's got a beard. He has a, what is that? Salmon? Coral? What's that scarf? What do you call that? Is that kind of a coral? Yeah, kind of a coral scarf. It's a silk scarf. He's got a red flannel plaid robe on, and then he's got a mixed matched black and white kind of plaid trousers, like pajamas. He's in pajamas. He's pouring vodka into a Coke can right now. He's wearing seafoam Crocs. Seafoam green? Is that close? Powder? Different color.
Yeah.
One is green, one is light blue. Yeah, because God forbid you'd be a conformist in any way.
It's Truman Capote after getting hit by a train. But non-lethally, like he got bounced into the train yard and put himself back together. And...
Oh, shit.
Oh, God, what happened?
He's pulled up one of his trouser legs and to reveal a pretty crude bandage. You're wounded, BJ. What the hell happened to you?
I fell down.
Do you care to elaborate?
I was going really fast.
Thanks. Thank you. That's
all right. BJ, everybody. BJ, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Who else we got? New black guy. Do you want to come up?
Welcome, new black guy, everybody.
New black guy. Chris, this is Chris, everybody.
Chris, all right. This guy's
are
black. He's got white jeans on, lots of holes in the legs. All right, here you go.
Have you been here before, Chris?
I'm sorry?
Have you been here before?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. Don't be offended if you're a third black person and you're somewhere I can't see you and you're like, what am I, chop liver?
I just want to see who the other black guy was.
Enty always sits in the front row, and he's often been the lightning rod of my white guilt.
Dan, I don't want to send you into a spiral of chaotic mania, but we have a black woman in the audience tonight.
Oh, no, yeah. It's doubling down. Yeah, it's crazy. How can I ever relate to anything that you ever experience? So we'll have you up in a minute.
Let's ease into it with a black gentleman first of all.
Yeah, and let's also buffer it with let's bring up like an Indian guy in between. I don't know, or just a carpenter, like not so that it's not like a race thing.
Do you have any mini Kanju or any Arapaho in here tonight? No. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, Chris, if there's anything you want to say, or else we can ask you questions. I don't know.
I mean, you can ask me whatever.
Okay. Well, what are you a student? Or?
No, I'm an assistant at a production company. Right. Really stupid.
No, it's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, we didn't break. You know, it's not. It's not that kind of. You don't have to plug anything. You're not. Can you tell us what kind of production that you're working on?
It's a TV show. I don't really
like a reality show or a sitcom.
It's
or?
Leverage on TNT.
Oh, is that Timothy?
Yeah, Timothy Hutton.
Timothy Hutton from the Dark Side. What was that show with the crows or the ravens? The Stephen King story. Dark Side.
Dark.
No. I wasn't mad at you. The Dark Half. The Dark Half. That was Timothy Hutton, right?
Yes.
Okay. and I emerge victorious. Sorry, Chris. Is Timothy Hutton a producer on that show?
No, he's just like the main talent.
Yeah, he swings a big dick. He comes through the office and he goes, "Who the fuck threw this away?"
Well, I mean, I don't really understand why, but whatever.
Ooh.
He was an ordinary people.
What do you do in the show? You're a PA?
I work for the COO of the production company. So So I don't really like work for the show.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so you're on payroll with the studio, the little production pod.
Yeah. Dean Devlin's company.
Oh, Dean Devlin.
He did Independence Day. No one knows who.
I had a meeting with Dean Devlin. Me and Schraub back in our heyday. We had a meeting with him and Roland Emmerich, and he said that they were excited about Godzilla because they took this thing that was cheesy and they turned it into something awesome.
That they did. Are you an aspiring filmmaker?
No, actually. I kind of just moved out to L.A. on a whim, and I just needed something to do, so I worked at a production company.
Fuck it.
I'm moving away soon.
Oh, really? You've had enough?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for like 3 years, so...
That Timothy Hutton's really getting under your skin, huh? You've had enough of that fucking asshole.
Goodness. I just had sex... Whatever.
Wait, but this is, now you've got me curious, because there's people, the young people that come to L.A., they're hungry and they want something. If you're moving away, what's the aspiration? Is there something?
I'm moving to Peru to teach English.
Are you just... Okay. I was about to say, are you just like a trust fund kid?
No, not even a little bit.
So you're like a kind of a hippie, you're groovy.
I've done a drug or two.
And you're just kind of... can I ask how old you are? Are you
25?
Yeah. Okay.
So are you going to go to Peru and do that? What's it called? Ayahuasca or ayahuasca?
Oh God, yes. Oh,
really? Are you really going to do it?
Yeah. That's my mission, to find a shaman in the Amazon forest, like 200 miles away from civilization.
Get really fucked up and then go teach English.
I'd probably be better at it.
The first English phrase they all your students learn is, "Oh, look at my hand." The jaguar is asking me for a job interview. The ayahuasca is the thing from this isn't going to help you, from Altered States, the William Hurt movie. You guys are whatever. It's Rob. Rob's coming up next. You drink this, like, it's made out of like,
it's like
herbs
and root, and they just crush it up and make a drink out of it.
You go to the Amazon and this shaman like puts it down your gullet, and then you freak out.
And you barf for a while, right? Don't you puke?
You barf and
have you done
shit
it before?
And just do everything.
Have you done it before?
No, I know people who have done it. Right. But like, yeah.
So how primary is that? Is that the primary thing you're going down there for?
Not even a little bit. Like, that's not my first goal. Like, my first goal is to go out there and teach English.
Oh, okay,
but
cool.
That's just a side mission.
How's your Spanish? Do you speak Spanish well?
No, but I speak French and Creole, so it won't be hard to learn it.
I'll take your word for it.
What? I say I'm going to do it as I learn it.
That's awesome. That's simple.
He's 25. He's a millennial. They don't care. They're socially conscious, and they're comfortable in the world. I don't know. It's a new thing. It's like they're reacting to Generation X. They're like, why Weezer? Why? Why not? Why not?
Now, Chris, if it was 1830, what do you think you'd... What would be... what do you think you'd be up to?
Just to... Yeah, like... Don't ask black people time travel.
Just as a rule?
I seriously don't like it, because we can't go back.
Please let that be the title of the episode.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's the title of this episode. Don't ask black people time travel questions.
That's really good. Costanza out of here.
I mean,
it's just too good. Nah.
All right. Well, let's
Chris, everybody.
Yeah, let's end on a high point with Chris. Thank you, Chris.
That was very nice.
Thank you for being a sport. All right, let's go to a black female. Do you want to come up?
What's your name? Huh? Char?
Char.
Star, everybody.
Star. Oh, she has a star.
She's even wearing a star in her hair.
Star. Star with two R's, maybe? No? Just spelled like the celestial body.
That's my whole name's Starlene, but I just go by Star.
Nice. Short for Starlene. That's awesome.
Does that star glow in the dark, the one you have on your head?
No, it's like a Scott Pilgrim thing. Like, I'm just a big nerd. Sorry. Okay.
Are you from L.A.?
No, I'm originally from Miami.
But I mean, are you living in LA now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. North Hollywood.
How long have you been here?
About 2.5 years.
What are your dreams and ambitions?
I would like to be a cartoonist.
Oh.
And print books and stuff like that. I just have a webcomic now, so it's...
What's it called? Let's plug it.
Candy? Candycomics.com with an I. Candy with an I.
Candycomics with an I.
Yeah.
It's short for Candyopia. All right. So you want to be a cartoonist? You're making it happen for yourself. You're not a quitter like Chris. You're not just going to fling yourself off into go ice
high,
fishing.
Go get high with a shaman.
That's pretty awesome, though. Like,
No. He's more activated than us.
Far more noble to go teach people.
You're like me. You're going to stay here, and you're going to you proclaim to God that you would rather die of starvation while you do what you do, and then 15 years from now,
pretty
you'll
much,
finally
yeah.
get to do it. Well, God help you, star.
Yeah.
How old are you, star?
29.
He looks so young. He looks like 22.
I moisturize a lot.
Just naturally? You don't buy products. You're like a...
She secretes lotion.
Well, you don't want to look ashy. You have to.
Like, you get ashy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I remember that. I know about that culture. I know what ashy means. I went to predominantly black grade schools and middle schools, Jeff. I was surrounded by people constantly struggling with ashiness.
You're a real hero.
Yeah.
Boy, I didn't know you'd been through so much struggle.
I dwelt among them, Jeff. I'm sort of like a man called horse. There's these 80s references that don't... I'm already out on a limb to being racist, ironically, and then I'm busting out my Tron references, and I'm like, there's no difference between this show and Christmas with your uncle. It's just it. I'm sorry. There's a difference. $10. At least your uncle gives you socks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your uncle gives you $10 if he's
I'm so sorry, you guys. You're all there's a pair of socks waiting for each of you by the She-Hulk section on your way out. All right, Star. Well, let's see. Is there anything on your mind? You got an open pulpit here.
I just like hearing you talk. I don't
really.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Like people say, like, you know what? Because sometimes the show's going bad, I go like, this show sucks. And then people go, yeah, but, you know, at a certain point, people just like to listen to you talk.
Yeah, like, for whatever reason, all your ramblings end up coming back to some type of, like, life-affirming point.
Yeah.
And I'm somehow listening to you worry about everything makes me feel, like, comforted. Like, okay, I'm not the only one that worries.
You know what I think it is, although I'm the least qualified to say it? I feel like if I were not me... The thing that would comfort me about listening to me would be like watching me thrash and flail so hard, if things were that bad, he would have knocked into something by now that would really bum me the fuck out. But really, I'm so pathetic. I just kind of like it's like if you take acid, like I don't know if you're like Chris, if you like a big drug head, but like when I was Chris's age, like, you know,
Chris, we're worried about you.
You take mushrooms, you take acid, and there's such a thing as a bad trip. You know, people are scared about a bad trip, and then there's this idea that worrying about a bad trip can give you a bad trip. So what happens is this fence goes up where you go like, no, I don't want to talk about it. It's very similar to any kind of anything. Like it just always, that's the human mind at work. We build these fences up because it's often very healthy of us to sequester ourselves and limit ourselves. So like humans under duress, it's like, hey, put this on your tongue and you're going to see spots and that owls might talk to you. Also, you may fucking freak out and you think that the earth is opening up and a hand made of logs is dragging you down. But just keep eating oranges and that won't happen. Like, don't talk about it. You're going to make it happen, bro. You're going to make it happen. I try as hard as I can to make it happen, and it doesn't happen, and I think that's uplifting. Maybe that's my personal theory as to why people would possibly be willing to tolerate me talking. Because they go, like, well, if you can't destroy the earth with your mouth, then maybe it has some sturdiness to it. Maybe things aren't that bad.
Do you agree with that, Star?
Yes, I do.
Star.
No, go ahead.
Star, ladies and gentlemen.
Star. How lovely.
All right. I'm starting to feel. I think I might be the next Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
We're in Dick Cavett country right now. This is nice.
Who's your Asian guy? Come up.
Asian guy. What's your name, sir?
Jason.
Jason, everybody. Welcome Jason to the stage.
All right, what's going on, Jason? Jason, what are Asian people thinking?
So why are Asian people second best to you?
Oh, yeah. You took that to heart. Yeah.
Make a comparison list.
Well, because Asian, to me, in my mind, Asian is half of the earth, and in fact, the half of the earth that is like teeming with people. So more than half of the earth, but like it just means Eastern, because we've gotten so tied up in like, well, I don't want to be racist by ordering a Korean beer in a Chinese restaurant, so we've started to, you know, and the most racist thing you could ever do is confuse a Chinese person for a Vietnamese person, etc. So I'm pretty convinced that white people at one point decided, okay, Asian, let's go. you used to be Oriental, and then we rightfully decided, like, well, that sounds a little awkward and weird.
What is your heritage?
Korean.
Anyways, that's the answer. It's like, I don't know, black's more specific, man. Asian, come on, dime a dozen. I mean, to the point where, you know, there's some Asian countries that are like, you have to have just one baby. There's too many Asian people. That's what they're saying. They don't take it. The Asian people are saying it. I didn't say it. Jason, you're more than welcome here. Just saying, like, I read the news. I don't read the news. I don't read the news. I get the news about Chinese people from my mother in 1983.
Where did you grow up, Jason?
What's that?
Where did you grow up?
Here.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
In the Valley, in North Hollywood and Burbank.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Not that exciting.
Nobody's that exciting. I bring it up people because I'm not exciting. Who cares? You know, who knows?
What are you doing? What are your dreams, aspirations?
I am living them already.
You're living them already?
I don't...
Yeah. Can we ask? Can we pry?
Well, I work in music. So all I wanted to do since I was a kid, so it worked out well enough.
What do you do? Are you a musician or do you produce?
No, I work with a lot of musicians and also work for BMG. Do a lot of stuff for them.
Right, you're an engineer or are you just...
Right now I'm doing royalty stuff.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Nothing. So you like music that much that just being close to it in that capacity is exciting for you?
Yeah, for money thing, I'm just doing with the big companies, but also like working with artists, so I do that on the side.
Hmm.
Do you feel that Dan Harmon's been fair to Asians in Harmontown? Do you feel represented, or do you feel there's a lack of Asian representation?
I think there's been favoritism. But large extent.
But you know...
How are Asian people with time travel questions?
I think it depends on the country and the time.
Okay, it's Burma. 1822.
I think...
Oh, he's got something.
I don't know, I think Asians are cool with Burma. I haven't read anything about Asians versus Burmese.
Yeah,
I haven't read any problems.
All right, you hear that, 1822 Burma? That's a badge you can put on your website.
You're off the hook, Burma.
They get a pass.
Your parents, are they? How many generations deep? Since we know, since you're ethnically Asian, that at some point in your lineage, someone came over after a Mayflower thing. That's all I know. Yeah. How many? Are your parents American? Were they born American? Were your grandparents?
My parents moved here. And
your parents did, or your grandparents?
My parents.
Okay. Yeah. So you're second generation Korean. That's American.
I don't know how those things work.
Yeah. So I think that's what that means. Second generation. So you, because your parents were immigrants, right? Yeah. Am I getting this right? I feel like Archie Bunker.
He's first generation American.
Oh, first generation Korean American.
There you go.
So what? So his parents are zero generation. Yeah, because they're Korean. All right. Interesting.
This is a
great night at Harmon Town. You know, I need to know this stuff. I'm going to start my own town. I need to know what to say to the Korean people as they join the town. You're zero. Welcome aboard. This is good because I thought, like, your parents, they're so English is a second language for them.
Yeah.
So would you call them pretty traditional? I mean, compared to you, surely.
Yeah.
Right. So all right. Your mom and dad's thoughts about black people. This is what I find fascinating. Like what's, you know, like, I'm up on Mount Olympus, you know, I'm drinking my Diet Coke and watching everybody fight it out. Like, but then you get these glimpses of, like, oh, Koreans, the Korean shop owners, like so racist against the black guy. You see it in a movie and you go, like, what's going on? Why aren't you guys all just burning down the White House? Why aren't you just mad because you're all poor? And the answer is fucking hegemony. Like white people are genius manipulators, and we've taken over the earth. So I want to know what your mom and dad, like, what the weird racist shit they say in the living room about black people.
Also, what are their names, first of all? I'm kidding.
No, they don't say anything racist.
Oh, well, we're
just trying to get stuff out based on what happened between Koreans and black.
No. I'm doing my thing. I'm flailing around and proving that the world's not that bad. See? You kick every rock over. There's not a scorpion under it. There's nothing. Nothing's going wrong.
Do you ever go to Korea? Have you been there?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it there? Is it north or south, by the way?
South one.
That's important.
The south.
South, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Those are good guys?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Good guys.
Those are the good guys.
Yeah. All right, what else? What's going on? This is your last chance to ask a first generation Korean something.
Don't waste it, Dan.
Breaking Bad? What do you think about Breaking Bad? Like Breaking Bad?
Pretty great.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like just like an American person.
I am. Yeah. I'm more American. Pretty whitewashed.
Yeah. It's almost like race is an artificial construct.
Yeah.
Boring. All right. It's Jason, everybody.
Jason. Thank you, Jason.
May I make a...
I didn't mean you were boring.
May I make a suggestion?
Oh, yeah.
Keep going with the racial census of Harmontown. Get a Hispanic up here.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh. Yes, that's very important, actually. And I'll tell you why. Big failing on community. We had Ken Jeong, who's Korean, but who apparently ended up playing a Chinese character. That was always a point of contention. Then Danny Pudi, who was Indian, was playing a guy in the script who was scripted as Palestinian. That was a point of contention. But there was basically no Latino people, Latin people.
I thought Starburns was Latino.
This is closer you're going to get. All right, who's going to represent? Represent the
Latin America. Here we go.
All right, here we go. What's your name, ma'am?
Piper.
Piper.
Yeah.
Okay. Aye, aye, aye.
We did have Julieta. I remember when she was in town. She came up. She's full blown Mexican. She's actually living in Mexico, trying to get a job up here.
She's also an animator too, right?
Yeah.
Piper, so, what do you do?
I work in healthcare. Well, I can be specific and say healthcare finance, but that's a little bit more boring than just healthcare.
But it really is so boring, it's fascinating to people who are sick and tired of hearing about actors and headshots and scripts and stuff.
Right.
What is healthcare is something you hear, it just, to me it just bounces off of my head.
We're doing political debates right now. We're talking about HMOs and hedge nuns and
the fucking hedge nuns. But
I don't know what the hell Medicare. What I don't know what any of that means. I don't expect you to explain it to me.
What is your heritage? Where are your ancestors from?
I'm Puerto Rican.
A Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Anda pa carajo.
Are you gonna take that?
I'm only a half. You don't even. Blood, you don't. So.
Right. But wait, did you grow up in a bilingual household?
Yes.
Did you? So, how'd you do in English classes in school? Like writing essays and stuff.
Pretty well.
Yeah. I have an ex-girlfriend of mine was an English teacher and in Los Angeles, and there's a phenomenon where like very, very bright kids who grew up in bilingual households, which is where LA is teeming with that. These genius kids. I mean, how many, I don't speak two languages, but these kids are like, you know, regardless of their IQ, they grow up in these households where you're bouncing back and forth between Spanish and English, for instance, and they suffer in the English grades because they don't actually like they don't get to buckle down and be Frasier at English. they're more acrobatic, which is a talent unto itself that should be more valuable than it is. But anyways, I was just curious about that.
Well, I mean, my mother grew up in the States, so it's not like I just mainly got yelled at in Spanish or, you know, like any...
Do you speak Spanish?
I can read it and write it, but I don't speak it well.
Look, we asked
you
for...
You can say, put that down, you're grounded. And,
be like, clean your room, you're not good enough. You know, average things that every Hispanic mom says.
Is there anyone who feels they're more Hispanic than...
You probably are.
No, wait, yeah, I see silence. You win the Thunderdome, you're fine. I thought it'd be interesting if somebody came up and, like, tried to knock your hat off. The all right. Well, what do we ask? What do we ask, Piper? What do you think of my writing?
You know, I think you're a genius, which I'm not just saying to kiss your ass.
It's interesting.
But you know,
I find it interesting.
I was told not to respond to any texts tonight because I'm with my hero and didn't want to get heckled.
Oh, do I bug people about getting texts and stuff in the audience?
No, just because I was sitting up front.
Yeah. It's pretty laissez-faire here. So it's not rigorously structured.
I didn't want to be rude, okay, Dan Harmon?
Although Jeff will come down on you pretty hard if you're my girlfriend. That's as far as I can tell, that's the only standard that's actually upheld.
I mean, the night's not over yet.
Are you familiar with my girlfriend, Erin McGathy?
No. You know, gotta be honest, I really just started watching Community because I'm in love with Donald Glover.
Uh-oh.
So can I just plug that?
Yeah. No, you can plug that. Yeah.
Can I tap that? I'd like to plug that.
Can I plug that? can I strap that on? It's good. The kid could use a break. Like, that's all. Do what you can tonight. Spread the word that Donald Glover's out there and he's...
He needs your help, everybody.
He's amazing. I think he's, I hate to play favorites, and people always like, but I would always say, people would go, who's your favorite? And then I would go, I'm not allowed to say that, but then I would always also, supposedly, ironically, I would go, but Donald's my favorite. But beauty is, I wasn't being ironic. I was,
right.
I mean, he's amazing, and he works really hard.
No.
And he puts out rap albums, and all of his raps are about how hard he works.
Oh, my God.
And how women need to get used to the fact that I'm going to keep working. Working really hard. I'm gonna stay up all night. You got a problem with that? I got work to do. It's funny. He really means it. Like, and some of his raps, they get really dark. Like, cause he's like, he's actually like literally talking about like working until he drops dead. Kind of like it's poetic. It's disgusting. It's beautiful.
Dan, do you think there's a way, this might be too high concept, and if it is, we can edit it out from the podcast. Do you think we can bring Spencer up, our dungeon master, and bring all of the people we have of different ethnicities and put them in some sort of D&D Thunderdome together? And maybe settle some weird racial Thunderdome?
I think that the only person that's not that would have a problem with that is Spencer, because you're talking about characters need...
character
Spencer,
sheets.
Is that above and beyond the Call of Duty?
It's all good.
Spencer, come on up. Let's try it out, Spencer. All right. Come on.
I'm not sure what's on the table here, but
I'm just saying it's like we have Spencer, our dungeon master here, and we're going to try to settle some old racial scores here.
You're saying we have all of our ethnic guests.
Who feels unrepresented ethnically right now? Anybody? All right, we're good.
Does Adam know that Asperger's isn't a race? Or is he going to come bounding up again?
We can make him an honorary race.
But yeah, I mean, what they're going to have to share a microphone.
I don't know. It might be more trouble than it's worth.
It's the kind of idea that makes everyone clap, but then turns out like it doesn't really work.
Spencer,
but
what are your thoughts?
I don't want to be that bad guy.
Is there a way to make that work, Spencer, or no?
I don't know how to teach tons of people how to play, but if you guys go along with like that, you're just acting in the story of what the hell we're talking about on stage. Like it should be kind of okay.
I could make a suggestion. I don't want to put things too much on the rails, but I am a writer by profession. And a storyteller. Well, my suggestion
and a genius.
My suggestion would be that maybe perhaps at some point in the adventure that unfolds, maybe we would encounter some kind of spiritual situation where it would call for a chorus of spirits from beyond.
Greek chorus kind of.
I'm just trying to reverse engineer from what it's the reality is going to be like eight people standing in front of a microphone going like this. So
right.
what would they be playing?
I don't know.
Maybe a hydra. A racial hydra.
Should we get Steve up here?
Steve Agee, who was here last week. Come on up.
Let's welcome Steve Agee to the stage.
I know you're wondering what you should do, Piper. I wonder too. First of all, let's give Piper her props, and we'll you can have your seat so that you're.
You know, I'm a little bit offended you didn't ask me what my family thinks about black people.
Well, I didn't ask everybody. I only asked the Korean guy what his family, because I didn't. I mean, I don't know. Somehow it felt funnier. To do that, maybe I discovered a new form of racism. that I think that's hilarious that Korean people and black people like if they wouldn't get along. But I didn't find anything funny about the idea of digging that up with you.
That's okay. I was just feeling left out.
Well, don't. No, it's all because I am a horrible, weird, twisted labyrinth of racism.
How do your parents feel about black people?
Yeah, tell us now.
I mean, I solely date black guys, so they're pretty used to it by now.
But and the reason you do it is because obviously they hate black people.
No. I mean, I think they're okay with it.
Really?
Which is why Donald Glover and I should get married.
Right. But your dad didn't sit on the edge of your bed at night and go, "Will you do me one favor? If you could do one thing for me, Piper, please just like really..." I mean, something. I mean, like when you have a fetish like that, maybe. Well, I don't know. My mom didn't like hate redheads.
No,
I
mean, I don't care. I'm from Seattle. My parents are very liberal.
What do you think? You're saying you're owning an actual physical fetish. Like if you're walking down the street and you see an attractive African American man, you're gonna like your senses are heightened.
Like my spidey senses? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So what do you think that's a childhood experience? Do you think there was some hot guy that like
you know, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. Cuz I don't know. I have a thing about redheads and I don't know, you know, like I had a redhead aunt. That's creepy. Yeah. Batgirl was a redhead. I used to watch Batman reruns, and Batgirl, Yvonne Craig, when she would become Batgirl, she'd have this beautiful red wig like flowing out from under her bat mask, and then she'd be kicking around in her tights. And but then there was also Nicole McHugh in Kindergarten. Like she was this beautiful little redhead. Well, you can't say a kindergartner is beautiful. I was a kindergartner too. I wasn't in a van outside the school. This is hot kindergartner. She had everything, man.
And could she finger paint?
I remember distinctly remember her as being a redhead. That's got to be as far back as you can possibly go. That was so. But I don't know. The question is my circuit board, does it have a predilection? Do I see the red hair and it's instinctive? Is there something, or is it a childhood experience? We go to our graves wondering about that.
I mean, maybe it was the lack of growing up. I mean, I grew up with like two black kids.
Maybe. I mean, I you know, I don't know. Yeah.
It's like being in Hermantown.
Yeah, except for Enty's my neighbor, so I get to see him all the time. Sorry, yeah. Dan.
Has there been any...
I mean, I wish.
Hey, what's happening? There's more to this than... yeah, I know. You can sit down. Yeah, that spiraled very quickly because I was like, who's more embarrassed and who? Like, what's the backstory? What's going on? It's forever rotating. I won't embarrass you guys. Well, because obviously there's some kind of weird platonic.
Maybe they're.
No, but I'm saying, like,
Maybe they're driving straight off to the Madonna Inn after this, you know?
I don't know who feels what and what's going on, but I know a minefield when I see one. And I've been in them, and I've appreciated it if people didn't bother to exacerbate it.
Steve Agee, how do your parents feel about black people?
My parents are dead. They were killed by black people. Why don't you ask me how I feel about black people, Jeff?
Because you own everything.
I assume they're fine with them. No, my parents are both alive, actually.
My parents were too fine with black people. My parents were so fine with black people that they made me racist. They made me the new definition of racist, which is racially obsessed. I've talked about this a lot. Like, it's my origin story is my mom had... I was playing with these two Sesame Street figures. One was Gordon and one was Lewis or maybe Mr. Hooper. Let's keep it simple.
You were playing with a Mr. Hooper character? That's amazing. Yeah.
He owned a store. And my mom said, what's the difference between those two guys that you're playing with? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, really? You don't know? You don't know anything's different about them? I said, well, one guy's got an orange shirt. I said something like trivial. And my mom, if she had stopped there, fucking bullseye, great 70s liberal mom. Instead, she goes like, that is so good because the difference is one is black and one is white. And it's so good that you don't know, because a lot of people do know the difference, and it's a big thing in this country, and you're going to learn. And my mom had those well-intended like stuff. She just made a balloon animal out of my brain. I remember there was a miniseries about the Holocaust on network TV at some point when I was a kid, and I remember my mom coming into my bedroom and sitting on the foot of my bed and going, Daniel, wake up. Listen. It may not happen tomorrow, but it will happen at some point. There is going to be a time when people start to deny that something called the Holocaust happened.
Whoa, what?
And you need to remember that it happened. Because I might be dead.
She saw Holocaust deniers?
Well, I think they were around at the time. I think she read a crawl at the end of a fucking movie and took it to the streets. I don't think she was that imaginative. This is the same woman who said of Everyone Loves Raymond, are these writers under our floorboards? She's pretty impressionable. That's why I moved to L.A. Because I was like, how do I get this woman to love me? The answer was obvious. Like, make the talking box talk. Still hasn't fucking worked. She's still a bitch. All right. Holy shit, it's 9:30.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Spencer,
I love race.
Spencer, our dungeon master, bring us up to date. Where are we in our journey?
When we last met, our heroes had newly resolved to end Admiral Darkstar's blight on the forest. Coming upon a mound of corpses, Sharpie and company discovered an unlikely ally in the form of Maris Goldbright, a cleric. Swiftly, they came upon the Dark Ziggurat. Thinking quickly, Quark hid himself in among corpses, infiltrating the dark compound. With a stolen cloak, Sharpie smuggled his compatriots in through the front door. After defeating a skeletal abomination, Sharpie, Quark, Mulrain, and Morris stopped, taking a breather before the climactic encounter upstairs.
Spencer, I love you so much.
That was really good. That was really good. We should call it quits.
But more important than me loving you, because I never get a chance to tell you. Everybody loves you. Don't let that affect you.
Yeah. I love you guys too. You're all really great. Thanks a lot.
The comment that I hear all the time is, "Man, did you hit the fucking jackpot? Was he a plant? What do you? You asked for a dungeon master, and he raised his hand, and then he came up." And
yeah, the original idea was that we were going to try out different people every week, and we'd find the best dungeon master. But we found Spencer, and like everyone else can go.
Is that right? Yeah.
Can I tell you guys a weird story about that? Is like I listened to your podcast a few times, and I was going to come like the week before I came up on stage, and I couldn't, and I thought it was a different time. So I was just, but when I was listening, I heard you, and you never said it, but I was like, you know, I bet if I went there, I might be able to dungeon master for Dan Harmon. Like, that was literally a thought in my head. It was the stupidest, and, you know, you never entertained those thoughts, but then I show up, and then he asks, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. This one hand shot up, and we brought him on stage, like, have you ever been a dungeon master? He's like, yeah, today. I was making character sheets this afternoon. It was amazing.
This is the kind of connection that white people have with each other. Yeah, you don't know what it's like. Yeah. Star, Enty, Chris, Jason.
What is your Piper? What is your heritage, Spencer? Where do your ancestors hail from?
Viking.
Cleveland.
Isengard.
Cleveland.
I'm told I have some Native American in my blood, but ooh. I don't qualify for those scholarships. So who cares?
Not enough.
So you're part Native American, part what, like German, Polish, what are you?
German? I don't know.
Wait, I'm asking you, Jack.
I'm sorry, is that a thing? Is that a thing that white people do where they go like, I'm part Native American, not enough to qualify for one of those scholarships? Can we not leave? Can we not just strip all the buffalo and rape the earth and exterminate them? I was to just confine them to, and then put casinos where they live and take all that money. Yeah, and then we're so like, not enough to go on a fucking scholarship.
I'm just trying to pay for college.
I shouldn't be laughing, but like it's so amazing. We are an amazing race. BJ.
BJ, everybody. BJ. All right, so Spencer, let's examine those upstairs. What do we got up there? Can we walk up there?
Well, hold up, you guys. Standing at the foot of the staircase, ascending upwards into darkness, you decide to take a quick break to catch your breath. You reflect on all you've been through and everything you've overcome. Ding, you gain a level.
Whoa!
Feels good, doesn't it?
God damn it. Now, Spencer, what does that mean?
It means you are incrementally stronger. With a sense of empowerment and a slight incremental advantage, you decide to head upstairs.
Wait, a sense of entitlement or empowerment?
Empowerment. And entitlement.
I increase my sense of entitlement. I should kill so many more dragons than I do.
I'm level 2. These stairs don't mean nothing.
All right, so I walk up the stairs.
You head up the stairs.
Do you guys follow her?
Wait for me.
Oh, Morris Goldbright.
I follow.
You head up the stairs for what seems to be 5 minutes.
Are there a lot of stairs, or are we just taking our time?
You don't even know. You can't even tell.
Is it dark?
The stairway is dark.
Oh. Way to go, Morris.
Hey, the steps might be large or something. You approach the second floor. The floor of this room is black flagstone, clean and shining from the light of several iron candlesticks about 4 feet high. A large altar form of bones and silver stands in the middle of the room with a pile of corpses chained to it. Underneath the corpses, you can see the struggles of an arm and a leg and the terrified shrieks of a human female. Someone's trapped in there.
Underneath, it's trapped underneath what? I'm a little
a pile of corpses on a silver and bone altar.
That's how you guys found me. Remember?
Yeah, you were under some corpses.
Yeah,
yeah. As memory serves, you had hidden there.
Yeah, this right.
This is involuntarily under some corpses.
Can we speak to her? Is she a?
Can we dig her out?
Do you call out for her?
I call out to the woman under the thing.
What do you say?
I say, damsel, what gives?
I'm under a bunch of dead bodies. Help!
I run over to her aid and remove the dead bodies from her.
You remove. The dead body pile is quite heavy. You might be able to shift it over, but it may be easier to tug her out.
I tug her out.
You tug her out.
If you know what I mean.
She enjoys your tugging. Successfully extricating the damsel from the pile of corpses, she retches on the floor before straightening herself out and thanking you properly. Thanks, fine sir. I just vomited. I'm not too eloquent.
Come on, Sharpie. You're our leader. What do you got?
What's the haps?
I was captured by a dark warlord. He sought to sacrifice me to his dark gods.
How'd you end up under those bodies?
Well, I was knocked out, and the next thing I knew, I was under bodies. It smelled dark and terrible. It smelled dark.
What's
it
your,
smelled
you get
like
used
darkness.
To it.
What's your name?
Karen Broadleaf of the Butts Plains. Sharpie realizes that these are the very plains that his father owns.
My God.
What?
Are you a serf from my family's domain?
Not a serf am I, but a great warrior in the Butzalot tribe.
I am of the Butzalot tribe.
Are you the lost one?
Yes.
That is crazy. You are foretold of in prophecy. The one who is tossed out by his father shall come to reclaim his father's throne.
If I had known that, I wouldn't have left, but then that would be ironic.
So what brings the four of you here?
Fortune and glory. No offense to Jason. That's an Indiana Jones reference. Okay, never mind.
Wait, was that a short round reference?
Yeah. Forget it. You have to do Rubik's Cube of racism. I was trying to keep the racial theme going.
What was your name again?
Karen. Broadleaf.
Karen? Hello, Karen.
Hi.
How do your parents feel about black people?
Are you speaking of the drow?
Yes.
Look, they hate being called that.
Can I look around the room?
You look around the room and you see a dark figure who's been eyeing you this whole time, waiting for a chance to strike.
Is this Admiral Darkstar?
You don't know.
I call out to him. Are you Admiral Darkstar?
There he stands, holding a black longsword and wearing full black plate mail. In his fist, he has clutched a metal stone. It appears to be like your fragment of power that you found at the Trove, but this is dark and emanating vicious pulses of dark energy. Dark.
You fools have played right into my hands!
He unleashes a wave of energy. You feel numb.
No!
Now you're taking will saves according to the rules to see if you actually are affected by his dark magics.
Fuck. How can he feel
Sharpie numb? And Quark manage to shake it off, but Maris is stricken and paralyzed.
Help me. Help me. Help me.
I knew that your star metal had revealed itself, but I didn't think you'd simply deliver it to me.
Deliver it?
Telekinesis!
You feel a tug at your pocket, and you feel the fragment of power leave. It is flying towards him.
I can't... Can you attempt to...
hang on to it?
You attempt to grasp it from the magical clutches of Admiral Darkstar.
But are you fast enough?
You were fast enough.
Yeah.
Clutching the stone out of midair, you seem to halt Darkstar's spell.
Oh, Admiral. You're right about one thing. A delivery's been made. You just forgot to write down the address.
Ray of Frost! As he is charging up with anger and energy, you cast a ray of frost directly into his face. The ray of frost whizzes past his head and freezes a wall behind him.
Berserker rage!
You fly into a berserker rage.
Would you like to attack now?
I'm not gonna wallpaper the room.
Raging like a maniac, you wallpaper the room.
I struggle to stand up.
You pull yourself to the feet.
Whoa. Did someone get the number of that truck that hit me?
Wait, I have the power to heal light wounds, if I'm not mistaken, right? Does he need that? Does Morris need that?
He does not.
Okay, well, fuck it.
You are raging.
I want to attack him in a berserker rage.
Pulling your flaming sword from its sheath, you activate its powers. It is wreathed in flames. You charge at the enemy, Admiral Darkstar. He blasts a mighty dark beam of energy at you. Uh-oh. It flies past you and blows a hole in the wall behind you.
Wait, how's the wallpaper? I repair the wallpaper.
You quickly repair the wallpaper. Okay.
I attack him with my mace.
Rushing towards Admiral Darkstar.
My heavy mace.
You fling your heavy mace into his chest. You strike him squarely in the chest. He steps back in pain.
Suck it. Suck
he
it.
He takes
Darkstar.
8 damage.
Ooh. Yeah, is that good?
How many does he need?
I don't know. You don't know.
All right, we'll find out.
Reduce person!
Before you cast reduce person, he strikes his sword towards Morris Goldbright.
Uh-oh.
Oh, fuck.
My sword will cut you in two!
It does not. It hits painfully, but not deadly on your armor. You are fine. Reduce person!
Reduce person!
He is entitled to a fortitude save, I believe.
What?
He fails his save. He shrinks from 6'2" to a good 3'8".
Nice.
Can I do my berserker rage with my sword right now?
You're already in your berserker rage.
Well, I attack.
Swinging your sword at the shorter target. Let's see if you can adjust to his new height. Your sword rings true against the foe's arm. He drops his fist-sized crystal in anguish.
No!
I don't know who made this guy an admiral.
He takes 11 damage.
Ooh. Yeah,
man. Oh, I'm sorry. And 5 fire damage.
Woo! Yeah. I don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty fucking cool.
I pick up his crystal.
You pick up the crystal. You feel the dark taint surging through you. Negative energy.
Taint.
Yeah, taint is a word. Look it up.
We might have a new title for the episode, Feel the Dark Taint.
Admiral Darkstar, Lord of all that is taint.
You feel the power of many demons surging through you, threatening to throw you off your alignment. Only by focusing on the power of your gods can you maintain your sanity.
I focus on the power of my gods.
Stay neutral. It's the spot right that's not right. It's between the good and the evil. Right on the spot. That's it's taint. Good.
What are you talking about?
He emanates a dark wave of energy. You feel yourself knocked back 5 feet.
Oh, shit.
Quark, you take a nasty blast of energy to the face.
What? I was just wallpapering over here, man.
And thus, we're not prepared for the assault.
Yeah.
6 dark damage. That's shit. Not a type of damage, just damage.
Burning hands, N-word!
Holding your hands together and summoning the power of fire, a thin stream of flames jets out between your hands in a cone-shaped pattern. Ow! His armor heats up and becomes bright red. He takes 3 fire damage.
Yeah.
Level 1 spells, you guys.
I hit him again with my heavy mace.
You hold the powers of darkness at bay long enough to summon the strength to swing your mace. You get a critical hit. You smash him right in the face.
Suck my taint.
Is it his he takes turn? 2 damage.
Is it his turn or our turn?
I think it's your turn now.
My turn?
Yeah.
I'm just reading here a post-it note you gave me. I have high charisma and am actually good at convincing people or scaring people. I convince him to stop being an asshole.
Okay. Phrase your arguments.
Huh?
Phrase your arguments. How are you?
You, Admiral Darkstar, your reign of terror has gone on eons too long. And I think 'twould be best that ye lay down your admiralty and join us in the quest for fortune and glory and so forth.
A compelling argument, indeed. You rolled a 2. Dazed from the mace strike to the face, Admiral Darkstar fails to hear your voice over the sound of blood rushing to his head.
I wasn't proud of it.
I'm sorry, man. You just roll low sometimes. It's sad. I want to help you out and do cool stuff like that.
No, it's cool, man. The
it's
dice,
just the game.
The dice don't lie, man.
Sure. You fools! Telekinesis! He summons the fist size crystal away from Maris. Do you attempt to grab it out of his hand?
Hell yes.
You fail to grab it out of his
hand. No! Yeah.
It flies back into his grasp.
Son of a bitch.
He grabs it and starts floating in the air. You hear a rumbling as if the ziggurat is beginning to crumble. Dark lightning bolts shoot out of his body and fingers.
Does my mysterious emerald dagger do anything?
It might.
I produce my emerald dagger and attack.
Just attack with a dagger?
You tell me, Jack.
Pulling the emerald dagger from your sack, you charge head toward you. You attack. The emerald dagger groans with glee with green energy from the forest soul. You strike. You miss.
Shit.
A glimmering arc of green energy trails the blade as you slice cleanly above his head.
This is not my day.
Summon monster!
I used to have a list of... You can summon like a celestial porpoise. Let's see, a celestial monkey.
That
dog.
Can create water.
He can create
your
water.
Fucking porpoise in here.
A giant spider or scorpion? Perhaps a centipede?
Celestial porpoise, baby.
I would go with the scorpion.
A scorpion springs into existence before you.
Ooh, Akira!
The scorpion waits for you to tell it it's bidding.
Sting!
Scuttling towards Admiral Darkstar, it raises its sting wickedly. A glittering arc flies through the air as the blade penetrates. Does not penetrate. Darkstar's armor.
I can command targets with one word.
Yeah, say a word and they'll do it. Like
sleep. I tell them to sleep.
Sleep?
okay.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
steal his shit and get the fuck out of here.
Is he asleep?
He's sleeping.
Grab the stone. Grab the glowing stone again.
The demonic energy swirls through you again. You feel it corrupting you.
Here, Admiral Darkstar lays sleeping.
But there's two stones, right?
Yeah, give it to me. I've been able to handle this other one.
I give it to...
Combine the stones together.
Touching the stones together, the golden brilliance of your stone turns the dark purple of the dark corrupted stone to pure and silver for some reason.
Yeah, nice.
You feel the anger of the demons subside. Karen Broadleaf takes the opportunity to jump on the unconscious Darkstar and starts wailing on her.
I say we don't kill him. Let's just write in lipstick on the wall, "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS." Just to
wonderful.
Just to fuck with him.
He'll spend the rest of his life wondering what that is.
There's magic to cure that stuff.
So where are we at?
He's on the floor. There's a pile of corpses
and
on an altar.
Karen's kicking his ass over there.
She's beating him up, yeah.
The wallpaper's looking pretty good.
It's lovely.
Right?
I say we consult with this episode's exclusive chorus of multiracial ghosts to determine the fate of Admiral Darkstar, who lays powerless before us.
I cast Summon Multiracial Ghost Chorus.
The ancestral spirits of the forest fly through the ziggurat. Their swirling spiritual forms coalesce.
Come, tall black drug user, English teacher in
His
Peru.
His name is Chris.
Chris. Come, Asian guy.
Jason.
Jason, come, Puerto Rican, possibly lady.
Piper.
Come, black girl, a star with a star in the hair. Enti. I cast Enti. And I summon Adam Goldberg.
From the realm of Aspergia.
Your powers combined.
Their fists unite.
All right. From left to right, say what your spirits command.
Mercy.
I think you could kick him.
I forgive him for his hate crimes.
What can I do?
We're telling them what to do.
You're a spirit. You can haunt things. You can do all sorts of stuff.
Okay, so can I like just send him into space or something?
No, that's not a ghost power.
I mean, should
that's
we,
NASA.
He's a bad guy. Should we give him mercy or kill him?
Let's just kill him. Yeah. Let's like burn him or something. Something like that.
I cut him with a switchblade.
The swiftest.
Turn him into Chevy Chase.
All right. Well, it seems like it's kind of even, Steven. Thank you, oh multi-ethnic ghosts, for your diverse wisdom.
You've heard the voices of the spirits.
I think that the way to collate all of that guidance is to strip him of his dark armor,
right,
and bend him over like a just a rail or something, and put a sign on his back that says free ass.
So he'll be sodomized for all eternity?
Or? No, I don't know. I was just being 13 years old. I don't know. We should definitely be naked.
Is there a way to turn him into good? Is there a way to redeem him in some way that we can bring out the good in him?
You are not aware
of. Like Captain EO?
Is there anything else in this room with us?
The room is bare other than the candlesticks, the altar, and the guys.
What happened to Karen? Is she gone?
She's still beating him up. He might be dead.
Does she... As I understand it, in the realm of butts, the lower downs in that realm are often tutelaged in the art of tattooing.
The butts lower downs are. That's true.
Are you going to go dragon tattoo on this guy?
Yeah, let us put a dragon tattoo on him that says dickhead. Just put it on his forehead.
Right, but how will you divest his armor?
Seductively. With a lawn?
A plum.
What do you mean, how do we? Boots first? What do you?
You tug on his boot. It seems stuck.
Do we need to get the armor off?
Well, you were the ones that were talking about it. I mean, I didn't say do that.
Well, let's just do the forehead. Just write dick on the forehead
of the helmet.
Oh, we can't even get his helmet off.
Do you haven't tried yet?
I remove the helmet.
Pulling the helmet loose, you hear a almighty hiss. As the helmet slides off, a sludgy pool of black ooze and smoke emits from the helmet hole. Swirling and coalescing into a bipedal bestial form about 7 feet tall. It hisses foul demonic curses at you.
You're more powerful than I'd expected. No matter. The Dark Star's dawn will come and all will fall victim to its light. Planar Gate!
A portal opens up to a demonic plane. You see rows of what look like black ships that he's an admiral of.
Whoa!
He disappears into the gate and it winks out of existence.
Oh, we had our chance. We had our chance to kill him. We didn't take it.
Only his dark armor remains.
Maurice, maybe...
I wouldn't mind wearing this. I could probably take it in a little bit. And I put on the armor.
You take the armor. Karen thanks you again. Thank you again.
Thank you, Karen. And thank all of us.
Everyone.
I think we've learned a lot today.
What did we learn, Sharpie?
Like what?
Well, we've learned to stay good and be less evil. Because it inevitably seems to not pay off as much.
I learned that if you get a multi-ethnic ghost chorus, not a lot gets accomplished.
Yeah. It was gimmick driven. You made that promise, and I was just trying to pay it off.
Let me give you the treasure of our people, says Karen.
Ooh.
She gives you a masterwork lute, 50 merciful arrows inside of a magic quiver.
Are these two potions. Sexual positions?
I wish.
That's just true. I give her a masterful loot right back.
I'd put it into her magic quiver.
I cast Swedish reach around.
A wand of magic missile and a hat of disguises.
Whoa.
Ooh.
That's a magic hat, fellas.
All right. Well, you don't beat a magic hat. Thank you, Spencer. That was our Judge of the Dragons adventure. Well... my goodness. The clock says 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We really...
Don't lie.
Oh, I wish it did. I'm really sorry, everybody. You keep coming and I keep punishing you. I said I had nothing and then I had 2 hours of everything.
Yeah. All right, let's just bring in the station. First of all, Steve Agee, everybody. Thank you,
everybody. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Jeff.
Steve, do you want to close it up with your famous stand-up set?
Jeff, do I?
Let me get some music up for you.
Steve has the funniest 5-minute stand-up set.
Hold up.
I don't know if we can...
About...
everything.
About online dating that...
No, if...
All right. We're going to do a scene about... I heard a plumber.
Oh, boy. You again.
Yeah. I'd like a plumber, please.
Well, you all got right. One.
That's not going to work either, is it? All right. We're running out of ways to close these shows.
We can't just keep bringing Adam Goldberg up. I mean, that's the...
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, the problem is we can, but I don't think it'll... He's like Beetlejuice. Except you say his name once.
Adam, come up on stage. I want to try something out again.
Let's see what it's like when Adam has nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Adam, I want you and Dan and AG to kind of like just like.
No, you hold it.
Kind of give us a, like a doo-wop. You know, kind of like
you want me to do the backbeat and
whatever you like, baby. If I can follow your heart.
All right. That was excellent, by the way. I'm jelly. I'm not peanut butter at all. I'm very jelly.
Thank
Spencer.
You.
All right.
Do a talk show doo-wop to close up the show.
Show doo-wop?
I'm trying to please Jeff's innocuous request to turn this into Who's Line Again.
All right. What's the hottest button topical topic that has. What's that?
Race.
Well, we kind of trounced that.
Yeah.
The presidential debate
doo-wop.
But that's not really hot button. That's kind of like cupcakes. Like you're supposed to be talking about that.
Cupcake doo-wop.
All right. I don't know. It's the worst.
I'm just going to backbeat this. This is about you two guys. It's about gray. I'm wearing red. Da 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 do wop ba do whenever you feel it. Do do da do whenever you do da do do da do. I go back to the chorus. I do wop ba do da 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 do. Cookies and do gotta have you. Da 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 do, girly please.
You give me frosting on top of my cake, girl. You got a pink color, but you're brown down there. I got a multiracial cupcake in my oven for you tonight. You bake me at 350, girl. You make me toasty and warm. I'm all confused about race, girl. Teach me. Make me part of your ant swarm.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to Harmontown.
All right, thank you.
Oh, we fucking did it.
Sometimes the closer is a lack of closer. I think you'd all agree that's what's best at 10:05.
One more time, Adam Goldberg, our perennial favorite. Adam, shut the fuck up. Steve Agee, everybody. Show's over.
All our very brave volunteers, yeah, Chris Star, and Piper Jason, and Star Andy, and Jason.
Chris, Piper. Am I missing anybody? Also, Katie Levine, Zach McKeever, Emily Gordon, Daniel Kramer, Dustin Marshall, Mo Fathomab, Jenny Fine, and Sheru Shackett, all of our beautiful people to help us out of Harmontown. One more time for your mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
It's Dan to do. Sorry it was long.
It's 10:06. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We love you so much. Drive fast and take chances.